This is HPR episode 2263 entitled, Freak Does Geek. It is hosted by first time host FTH, and is about 24 minutes long, and carries a clean flag. The summary is, adrift through a variety of topic with the letter as the.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by anhonesthost.com. Get 15% discount on all shared hosting with the offer code HPR15. That's HPR15. Better web hosting that's honest and fair at anhonesthost.com.
Hi, welcome to Freak Does Geek.
Today's episode is sponsored by the letter A.
My name's Frank Thomas Hockey. Welcome to Freak Does Geek. This is my very good friend, Hugh.
What's this podcast about? It's about audio?
Yeah, all sorts of different things.
Accessibility.
With Freak being unique people. Everyone is unique. People with accessibilities and requirements don't have to be freaks.
Bus is just closed. Bus door's just closed for a minute. I'll step on, Frank. You step on behind me. You see a seat, Frank?
And there's one forwards a little bit, and then to the right, there's two of them.
This one?
Yeah, that'll do. This particular episode, we were talking about audio, right? And one of the great things about having someone who is enhanced on a visual, on an audio spectrum.
Yeah, that's me.
would be able to enable me to concentrate on describing things that are happening around us. And so
in audio.
Would you, Hugh? Because
because I should explain that. Yeah. I've got visual impairment.
Right.
And my visual impairment has deteriorated a lot over the last 20 years. So I get most of my information for getting around. Like I just got on the bus then. I actually went on first, didn't I? You followed me up the stairs. So the way I was doing that was a combination of using my cane and just this sort of audio soundscape all around me. And so I'm sort of seeing through that, and I reckon my brain has rewired. And all of this sort of spatial information coming through my ears is now being rewired and almost creating this sense that I can see where I'm going. It's not the same thing, but you were interested in that, weren't you, Frank?
Yeah, I did. I was always fascinated about how different people perceive the world in so many different ways, like philosophically, how when you look at different pieces of art, different people express different perspectives, but the truth sometimes comes across, and that's a wonderful thing. And it doesn't matter how different we are, there's things that we connect through.
That's what I'm interested in. The fact that we can connect.
Yeah.
We're multi-sensory creatures.
Yeah.
And if you're, all of our brains are adapting to our environment all the time. This idea that, you know, everyone that can see, or everyone that can hear, or everyone who's got sort of two legs, that we're always interacting with the environment in exactly the same way, it's kind of a myth. It's the myth of sight or the myth of hearing that everyone hears or sees in the same way. I think if you're an ophthalmologist and you're measuring people's sight on that chart, you know, that chart you have to look at, they can test you to a kind of scientific norm, which is how many lines down can you get, and they can say when you can't read it anymore because you say, well, I can't read that letter anymore. So that's a scientific test. But that's such a narrow
beautiful
idea of seeing. Because when you're talking about looking at a piece of artwork, you're not reading letters, you're looking at colours. Everyone knows that colours are variable in the way people see. Might be not hugely variable, but there's probably differences in the way people would interpret and see colours. They might not be big ones, but they might be little. But then there's angles, shadowing, depth, or the perception of depth, content, like, is that person smiling or not? Someone might say, I think they are. Someone else might say, I'm not sure they are. They're sort of looking like they're looking a bit like, amused, or they're asking a question. And so you get all this interpretation. You add all those different dimensions up, and are those two people seeing the same thing? And then going on to this connection business, when I'm connecting with you in this environment, we're just walking down the street, you just dropped our kids off at school, and we're walking down the street, I'm using audio mainly and touch, you're using visual, and we're both just walking next to each other. You're not guiding me, I'm just walking next to you. And then we get to the end of the street, and lots of people from around probably just see us as two guys walking along. They don't realise we're using totally different ways of getting down the street.
Totally different senses.
But to them, it looks the same.
And that's amazing. It's really cool, because like, we kind of... you can get quite rude bus drivers sometimes. And I think the bus driver this morning didn't realise we had we had been connected in such a way.
And he closed the door on us.
He had, yeah, and he had one of those most embarrassing moments, like, oh, right, OK. But fortunately for...
How did you open that door, Frank?
I just used the force of will.
It's just amazing the way the servo started, the hydraulics started shutting the door, and then you stepped in, and I was waiting for you to basically be snapped in half, and then the door opened again.
It was like that moment in Star Wars. The trash compactor, dude. And that there's also the geek aspect to it, because you were talking about variables, and I was going to do some tutorials inside this at some point as well, but... I'm not sure. Like, it's an evolving creature. Mm. It's been sitting here for about 2 years. I've had the Freak Does Geek URL, but I've never had the self confidence to push through and do the podcast. So it's quite cool to be finally recording it after 2 years of having the URL.
I think the time was now. The sun rose on this one today.
Yeah, that's it. So.
You were talking about connecting, and how you're doing it visually, I'm doing it through sound.
Yeah, and also like perception, like, so we've connected, but there is this common place where, in the objective reality, despite lots of different perspectives of the objective reality, there are things that we can scientifically prove, like a tree to... people will always be a tree.
So audio is the theme of this podcast. Mm-hmm. So when I'm walking past a tree, I don't, unless it's making a sound, and unless I've touched it, I don't know it's there. But there is a scenario when I do know it's there, and that's my knowledge of the environment I'm in. So even if on a previous day I kind of walked a little bit too close to the edge of the pavement and just touched the bark of the tree because it's quite close to the pavement, then next time I walk past, I'll kind of hear the sound slightly bending around that tree.
Nice. Watching you navigate with a stick, right? I was really excited because anyone who follows me on Twitter feed knows that I was really, really excited about Daredevil, right? And I was really kind of like, when it first came out, the new release of Daredevil, okay. Right? And like seeing you sort of navigate. Right. Kind of set me off, right? And I was like, are you a secret agent Hugh, right?
I can't reveal.
The way that you described how you perceive this model of reality, there are certain things that you will wake up and come back to. Yeah. So you kind of like go through the dream reality. Now that...
Okay.
Right, okay. I've never asked you this, right? What is it like dreaming, Hugh?
This is a tough one because... I have to say that my dreams feel the same as they always did.
Nice.
So that's the first thing. But the next question is going to be, what are you experiencing in those dreams?
Please.
Right. This is really, really hard to describe because I think that my awareness of where I am in the world is... quite a lot non-visual.
Yep.
It's also visual as well.
Right.
Now here's the... this is a bit of a mind bender.
No.
Try and imagine seeing right through your eyes right now. Mm-hmm. So you've got... look at something now.
I've got my eyes shut.
Open them. Look at something.
Right, okay.
Right. And anyone listening, look at something now. Just look at your hands or whatever, pen on your desk or whatever it is. Just look at something. Now, try and imagine what that object feels like. Touch it. No, don't actually touch it. Just
imagine
touch
the
it.
Sensation of touching it with colour.
No, imagine the sensation of touching it with your hand.
Right, imagine the sensation.
Suppose there's a pen on the desk, or if we're sitting on a bus, there's a seat in front of you, just grab that handle as long as you can avoid the person sitting in front. Now you look at it. Now, if you actually imagine touching it, and then shut your eyes and just sort of imagine the combination of what you've just seen and the sensory information coming in through your touch sensations, your touch channels.
This is where
now,
it happens.
That is my visual reality.
That
now,
is the
I am
spectral enhancement
it.
You have.
Yeah, I'm seeing it, but I'm seeing it, and so when I'm not actually dreaming in visual or touch.
It's
I'm
a kinetic
just, I'm
thing.
Just there. It's like I'm just existing. Now sometimes, so that's that. That might not help, but it might have just given me a bit of insight.
Helps. So what I'm perceiving is like that the body that you inhabit, right, is a way of experiencing the world when you are in conscious awake state.
Yeah.
But you have a perception of your body without having it physically. Right. Okay. So. Someone puts a coat on, right? They wear that coat, right?
Yep.
That's you in the day, right?
Yep.
But you have a perception of that coat all the time, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you can touch things with that coat, right? But you don't have to... Your perception is that this coat allows you... No. You actually perceive the world, right? And you're able to perceive that coat all the time.
Whether you got it on or not.
That's it.
You got it.
Nice.
That's it. So you got
that's
this.
Really exciting. So it's new for me.
So the most important factor, I think, in dreaming, and this is why this question of... Because have you noticed I've held back from the obvious question which everyone often wants to ask somebody who can't see?
Right.
Which is, do you see in your dreams? I didn't want to say that phrase.
I didn't want to ask that.
No, I didn't want
to
say it because it's a cliche. Well,
like,
I'm glad.
I
you see, that's why I'm talking to you.
The edge of it.
Yeah, that's why I'm talking to you because you haven't asked actually a really awkward question to have to answer. Because to answer that question, you have to say, "Can I just explain something?" That's the wrong question to be asking me because that shows you don't understand dreams.
They don't get.
Or you haven't thought about your own dreams. So you're just asking
they think
a cliche
about their
question.
Own dreams and they don't think about. Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're asking cliche because they've probably not thought about their own dreams. Because are their own dreams just purely visual? They've probably never stopped to think that actually there's probably all sorts of weird sensations going on in your body. Your dreams are a combination of all sorts of different sensory things.
So do me a favour, right? The first thing, right? If you are listening to this podcast, right, contact Hugh and me on, or Hugh and Frank on. freakdoesgeek@gmail.com and tell us about what your experience of dreams is, particularly if you've got an interesting perspective.
Yeah. I'd like to hear what people say because it's our whole world is multi-sensory.
Right.
You know, when I was doing my master's degree all those years ago at Middlesex Uni, I wrote this section on how our experience isn't visual. Visual is part of it. It's just that we tend to describe it visually because that's our mode of communication.
Lovely.
But being behind that mode of communication, it was probably an awful lot to do with physical. I mean, when you're looking at a street, right, you're walking, say we're walking back from school, like with yourself, you're looking at the pavement, right? Mm-hmm. Now, I can imagine from the days when I could see, that pavement today was slimy, wet, it was raining, there was probably bits of rubbish here
but
and there.
But not always.
Yeah, not always,
yeah,
it varies
okay, so,
a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
But you imagine the thing you're looking at, you're seeing this visual reflection of light.
Yep.
It's reflecting off the pavement.
Yeah.
Now, the tip of my stick is touching that same pavement. So
got
I am getting the reflection of physical vibrations.
Because you can feel that
from the same
you
pavement.
Sense the slime.
Yeah.
And you sense the...
I'm sensing different characteristics. Yeah, different characteristics, physical characteristics. But all you're doing is seeing them.
So cool.
But light's reflecting off the pavement, and your retinas are picking it up.
Mm-hmm.
My hand is connected to my stick, which is touching the pavement, and that's picking up the vibration, the physical vibrations. But
mm-hmm.
we're both picking up reflections from something.
Right.
Now, for you to see anything, that pavement needed to physically exist. And actually, you
Lovely.
Wouldn't be able to walk on the street if it didn't physically exist. So physical existence, which is something we touch, actually, is the start of everything.
So there's an objective reality, And then there's like the reality that we experience as changing creatures experiencing the objective reality. So like there's subjective and objective reality. What happens to me and you,
yeah,
and then and our personalities as we travel through life,
yeah,
and then this, these objects that we interact with and yeah, share life through, like tables.
You were talking about chairs the other day.
Chairs. What was I saying about chairs?
You were saying that, oh, I can't remember now.
we just have such a fun time talking.
I'm used to thinking about audio all the time, so much.
Yeah.
That to forgive me for using the expression, I can't see the wood for the trees.
No, lovely.
I just am an audio person. Okay. I just am soundscapes.
And you've been audio for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, I was just saying to you, just before we started this recording, I was saying to you, God, I've been doing audio for nearly 40 years. And I'm 45.
Wow.
I made my first recording, you know, popped the cassette in, got my dad's microphone, plugged it into the tape deck, and did my first recording. And my first recording wasn't about, you know, it was just, it wasn't about anything, it was just, I can't remember, obviously, because I was probably about five. But I remember just being so excited by the fact that you could make noises and do fart sounds, and then you could play them back. And to me, that was so funny. But you see the importance of that.
Yeah.
At that age, making a fart sound is actually very, very funny. And that was my reality then. So I was using audio in the way that meant something to me then.
I can remember, like, my mum giving me, I don't know if this reminds you of anything, like, a tape recorder that had us, it was half speaker,
yep,
and then half cassette, and then it had the plastic buttons right at the end. Right?
I remember those.
Yes, right? And I remember getting one for my birthday, and I remember having such a fun time, taking it round the house and recording people when they weren't expecting it. So it was like... Because one of the other things is, like, I've always been aware of what's happening, right? So, like, with the internet, I could see it happening in front of me. With these sort of sound things, I was really, really excited about it, but I never did anything, right? And it sounds like
you recorded
people
around the house.
Yeah, that was it.
Like, I'm interested in this, because I'm sure I must have. So it had batteries, portable tape recorder.
And, like... we use like probably AAA batteries and AA batteries mainly now. So those are the sort of ones that are the size of your thumb.
Yeah.
Whereas like these ones were D size batteries.
Yeah.
At the time, there was the ATAT around, and I had to confiscate my own batteries from my ATAT, all terrain armor transport, for anyone who doesn't know Star Wars by now, which shouldn't be very many of you, right? But if you aren't aware of Star Wars, it's okay. we're embracing everyone. So you're looking at something.
They were massive, those.
They were big.
Still get them on eBay.
Hefty, beasts.
Like a can of drink.
Oh, no, it wasn't actually. It was a C's. The D's were in the. I must have nicked them from the ATAT for something.
Hang on, we're on D's and C's. This is for a different podcast.
Right, actually.
Because you have talked about AAA, which just sort of fit with the theme of A.
So, you know, I'm starting to beat myself
right off
now. Hugh has actually helped me derail enough for me to be me.
We've just hit the swamp. We need to get out of it.
Right, okay, we're in Dagobah. This is the tail end of Freak Does Geek, the prototype, the zero episode.
Zero episode, I like
that. Right, okay. And, so one of the things I did record was Sesame Street. Right, and I used to record the introductions and all the counts as well, you know.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
One! Two! Yeah, all that.
Yep.
And then this episode is sponsored by the letter A. That was our thing.
It is.
So
I just see Big Bird there, just smiling. He didn't smile, did he? He had a beak.
But you were asking me about something about...
Hang on, you taped that. You were recording people, and I was just saying...
Yeah.
What were you... So when you were sneaking up on people, you were sort of saying you used to enjoy that.
What I used to do was instantaneously play it back. So it was only like 5 seconds, and then I'd play it back, and then I'd run. So, like, my mum used
to
do quite a very good shrill from wherever she was in the house.
Yeah.
And then like, threaten to take this particular tape recorder and do things to it.
Break it.
Yeah.
Take the batteries out.
Yeah, that's it.
And the thing I love about catching people unawares is it kind of short circuits people who are not we're not used to that happening to us, are we? To someone coming up and then playing back the thing we've just said. I think people should, maybe we should do this in towns and cities a lot more.
Do you know
just
what's
sneak
really
up on
be
people,
cool.
Just play back the last 5 seconds of what they said.
And this is going
imagine
to
the anger or the confusion that would be going on there.
Because we're just about to do this and then release this episode, and we're probably top and tail it with some other bits as well, but or maybe not. Maybe we'll just release it as there's an website called Hacker Public Radio, and that was way back in 2013 when a lot of adventures started.
Yeah.
I went to OgCamp, which is like an event for free Libre and open source software enthusiasts.
That's OGG, is it? Or just
yep.
OG?
OGG.
Yep.
And what's that stand for, do you know?
You knew
Og Vorbis.
Yeah, I knew about Og Vorbis, but that's just because I've got it on my sound editor as a format.
Okay, so it's a format that is... It's an open format, so you can see inside the format, you can see how... sound is converted from binary into whatever other form, but
yeah.
I don't know the source as well as most people that would probably know anything on the Hacker Public Radio, because they're really clever.
And
I always felt intimidated.
I know, and actually the beauty is I'm not intimidated by it, because I just select it as a sound format to save as.
Mm.
And that's it. So all of that wonderful stuff done by those programmers is just working in the background and giving me what I want, which is just a sound recording that's sort of small enough to email to someone.
And what it is like these programmers that have developed this particular format have given it to the world, right? So anyone who uses the internet can use this format without having to feel like they need to or having a legal requirement to pay a proprietor for that.
Yeah, because so MP3
yeah.
is licensed, or is it a format that you
it's
can't...
A, it's
not
a, it's
that...
a proprietary format. I can't remember who owns it, though.
Yeah, but from what I understand is it's it might not be... Anyway, the point of this podcast, we're sort of wrapping this up, and we're talking about audio formats now, because we moved on from tape decks from the 1980s, which were very... very good. You can do the same thing on a mobile phone now. You can run up to someone and surprise them by recording the last few seconds of what they just said and playing it back to them, seeing how they react. But we've moved on to modern audio formats, which is all digital. Has its advantages, also has disadvantages for the audiophiles out there who want super high quality. I don't know. We're not going to get into that debate.
Sorry, Hugh. I'm just trying to find out.
We've just lost him. Frank's just...
I am just
he's on his phone.
He's
on his phone.
You know what I do?
This podcast
is I tend to go into
crashing.
Right? No, don't let me... Don't,
one
don't,
of the members of the podcast has gone onto his phone and that's it.
Well, the thing is, like, we can... when you listen to Linux Outlaws, right, you've got Dan Lynch and you've got Fab Scherchel. These guys were legends, right? And still are legends. And Linux Outlaws was... one of my stable diets for a really long time. What I'm just trying to do now is I'm just trying to check the MP3 on my phone. Cause
I can't even hear him on his phone. He could be on anything.
Because back in the day, right, when I was listening to Linux Outlaws, it wasn't in Android, right? It was probably just... No, it wasn't in Android. I think they were... right at the front of the wave, really.
I think it's owned by the Moving Pictures Engineers Group. Is that what they were called?
That's what it stands for.
MPEG.
See, look at you.
MPEG, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Developed by the Fraunhofer Institute.
Fraunhofer Institute, yeah, that's the Fraunhofer was the guy that did the maths.
He's so kind to me.
Yeah.
Fourier
transform, is it?
That's
I think Fourier transform, yeah.
He's being so humble here, right, but he knows so much. And I go, active patents only remain in the United States.
Ooh.
And it was released in 1993, or 24 years ago.
Wow.
And it's contained by MPEG ES, which I could start clicking, and I'm going to stick this on the show notes. I think that's the safest bet. So here's a quick question, Hugh. Are we going to start talking about how to adapt for different people and talk about, because the internet is such a powerful
I think we
thing.
Should do that as part of a second instalment. And in a minute, we need to get off the bus. And we...
Right, good one.
Are we... Frank, where are you going next? Are you going up to Holborn?
Yeah.
Oh, you can walk past my office.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HBR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.